Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you do sustain us. We thank you, Lord, that you cleanse us and that your love is sufficient and your grace is sufficient, Lord. We thank you for all the things that you benefit us for. And we pray tonight, Lord, that as your word is opened, that we have minds to hear, ears to hear, minds to receive, and hearts to receive, Lord. That by your word, as we leave here tonight, that there's a change in our very lives from your word. Lord, I pray for Pastor Mark, who's with his family now, that you just bless that family get together, Lord. And when he's coming back, Lord, that they give him traveling mercies, that they have no problems with the automobile. So, Lord, we just thank you now as we open your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Welcome, everybody. Good to see you all. Pastor Mark teaches expositorially. What he does is that means he exposes the scripture, he opens it up. I teach topically, and that's because I'm used to teaching the men's group, and we talk very direct and very strongly about men's issues. And so I was sharing with Pastor Mark what we were teaching, what we were talking about, and Pastor Mark says, why don't you teach Wednesday night? And so with all the holiness I could possibly muster, I said, let me pray about it. Knowing that when Pastor Mark asks you, the answer is yes. So I bring to you tonight, it's a hard message. It's a tough message. It's a very direct message. But it's called, for those that take notes, it's called The Standards of God for You. And let me read a scripture here for you. It says, 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. And tonight, it's about applying God's standards to our lives. And excuse me for the metaphor, but people call me metaphor man. It's like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And let's picture this for a moment. You have a jar of peanut butter? You have a jar of jelly? You have a loaf of bread? And you don't have a sandwich. But it's when you open up the jars and you apply the peanut butter and you apply the jelly to the bread, now you have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, that savory, sweet thing you like to eat. Well, tonight, what we're going to learn is to apply God's word to our lives. Many times we have the scripture, we read the scripture, and sometimes we just don't know how to apply the scripture. So tonight we're going to learn those things, how to apply very directly to certain things in our lives. And I'd like to read something to you. I ran this by Pastor Steve. I mean, it's not biblical, but it's very close, and it's something I picked up many years ago when I was in early recovery. And it says this. I don't know who wrote this. I read it in some little book someplace. It says, the laws of nature cannot be changed and must be obeyed if you are to stay healthy. Now, what are the laws of nature? The laws of nature are like gravity, the law of gravity. Throw something up in the air, it comes back down. That's a law. Throw something up in the air over your head and it hits you in the head. It's not going to change for you. It's going to hit you in the head and it's going to hurt you. So submit to the laws of nature or they will finally break you. In the realm of the spirit, in all human relationships, submit to the moral laws and to the will of God. If you continue to break the laws of honesty, purity, unselfishness, and love, you'll be broken to some extent yourself. The moral and spiritual laws of God, like the laws of nature, are unbreakable without some disaster. If you are dishonest, impure, selfish, and unloving, you will not be living according to the laws of the Spirit, and you will suffer the consequences. And tonight, that's what we're going to look at. So the practical application of God's word to our lives, the standards for us. What is a standard? I looked this up in the dictionary. It says a degree or level of requirement or excellence, a requirement of moral conduct or moral character. It's also a guideline. If you look out, we have standards for our butchers, our meat. We have standards for dairy. We have standards for poultry. These things at the United States, and they have to be by these standards. So you have grade A meat, which is okay, and then you have lower standards, which is not okay. So this is what the standards are about. This is the standards of God. And let me open with Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Turn with me to Matthew 5. 13 through 16. And it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt of the earth had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bush, but a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house." What this means, and from this study, that in every relationship, in every situation, we are to exhibit the character of Jesus Christ through obedience to God's word. And that's what this is about tonight, folks. It's about being obedient to God's word. Let me start off with some hard scripture. Let's turn to Galatians 5, 19 through 21. And this is about the works of the flesh. And I believe I took mine out of the NIV. I never thought I'd ever say that I took this out of the NIV. I'm a King James person. So it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest or evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities," which is hatred, "strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions or disagreements," being disagreeable, "factions." And what are factions? That's conflict within an organization. We faction ourselves, and that happens a lot. That happens in churches. It happens in work. It's happening in the world. It happens in our government. We have these factions. We have these disagreeable things that go on in our life. We take different stands for different things, and we can't seem to come together. Envyings, drunkenness, carousings. Carousing is riotous drinking parties, riotous living. "They which do these things like these shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And notice it said these, "they which do things like this." There's other things that we can get involved in, not just these things. And we will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that's kind of a boiling cauldron of darkness in our flesh. Let's add to that at the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Let's add to that the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we look at that and say, how can we possibly defeat these things? Our flesh is raging with all these things. And I heard a pastor, I think the Lord let me hear this the other day. I was going through flipping through the radio, and I heard this pastor say, he was talking about this subject, and he said, you know, so you want to compare yourself. So you say, okay, I've never done murder. I've never robbed a bank. I'm not sexually promiscuous. I don't drink. I don't use. I don't do any of those things. So I'm doing okay. And then he said, well, what about your attitude? Is there somebody you don't like? Is there somebody you hate? Is there somebody you have a bad attitude towards? A sibling, a parent, somebody you work with, somebody in the church you have a hard time with. What about those things? So I thought that was very good. He pointed that out, and I said, yeah, you know, I can say I don't do this and I can do that, and then I have to look down deep and say, ah, I have these things in my life. Lord, Lord, help me. So let's turn to Ecclesiastes 12:13. Now, with all this stuff going on in our lives, we have the works of the flesh, and we have the pride of life, and we have the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eye, and we have all these things going on. There was actually a fella that figured it out a long time ago. And this actually, folks, is the answer to all these problems. One scripture, I don't know why I hadn't read, I read this a couple of years ago, I don't know why I hadn't read it before, but this is the answer to everything. As you know, Solomon, God gave Solomon everything. He gave him wisdom, he gave him money, he gave all that stuff. And throughout his life, he became disobedient. He did everything God told him not to do. And then he wrote, you know, vanity of vanities, all this vanity. But in Ecclesiastes 12:13, you know, as he finally came to an answer, he said this, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." So after all that he'd gone through, he came that if we fear God and we obey his commandments, that that's the way we're supposed to live our life. However, there's only one thing that gets in the way of that scripture, fearing God and obeying his commandments. And that's our flesh, our pride, our ego, those things that we want to do, those things that God says don't do, but we want to do them anyhow. Now, I'm going to ask this question, but I don't want any show of hands. I don't want anybody to answer me. This is just a question that we look at our own hearts. Does anybody have that problem? No. I do. There's things in my life that the Lord tells me, says, I want you to give this up. And I say, no, I don't want to give that one up yet. And so I let it fester in me for a while. And then after my life has a little bit of destruction, and I say, okay, Lord, I'll give that one up. Yeah. One of the greatest things, I'll just share this with you real quickly. One of the things is forgiveness. And there's a young lady, there's a daughter that goes to our church, and she's very young in the Lord. She's 3 or 4 years old in the Lord. And she's very, very obedient to God. And I got to know her, and she taught me a lesson. It was amazing. We have similar backgrounds, except my background happened 30 years ago, and because she's so much younger, hers was a little more recent. We both had spouses, and our spouses were not singular of mind, nor singular of relationship. And so the marriages ended up, and they became singular, you know, ended up in divorce. And so mine happened years and years and years ago, and I just had kind of forgotten it, kind of dropped about it. I mean, I was very bitter about it for many years, but I just kind of let it go because of time. Well, this young woman, who's young in the Lord and very obedient, she says, you know, I had a real hard time here, you know, and I was angry and all these things, but the Lord spoke to me and said, forgive my ex-spouse. And the Holy Spirit just touched me, and I said, you know what, John, you've never done that. You've forgotten it, you've buried it, you've let it go, supposedly, but you've never asked forgiveness, and you've never forgiven her. So I immediately went home, and I said, Lord, you know, forgive me for not having forgiven her. And I forgive her, Lord, and then I prayed for her. I said, Lord, if she doesn't know you, come and let her know about your grace and your mercy and your love. And it was amazing what happened. You know, somewhere down deep, I got this release. Because I hadn't done that, you know. Forgive your enemies, love your enemies, and, you know, an ex-spouse becomes your enemy. And I had never done that. So you never know, you know, when the Lord is going to bring something to you and who he's going to use. And I learned another little lesson. This young woman has a daughter, a little 9-year-old daughter. And this was, when a 9-year-old brings a lesson to you, and you're 68, you know, when you're 60 years older, it's quite a... It's quite a shocker. And I wanted to buy the little girl a Christmas present. And I didn't know what to get her. I had an experience buying a little girl a Christmas present many years ago, a little 9-year-old. This little 9-year-old I knew her parents didn't have a lot of money, so I took her shopping. And so she was picking out some outfits. And she went in the dressing room to try them on. And so I saw this outfit that I thought was just the cutest thing I ever saw in my whole life. It was purple, it was shiny, it had frills on it. And I look back now, and that was a really ugly outfit, but I thought it was really cute at the time. And so these other two little girls come in, and I said, what do you think of this outfit? And the little girls went, So I said, okay, what do they know? So Alexis, that was a little 9-year-old that was with me, I said, Alexis, what do you think of this outfit? And she goes, So I knew I had no clue what kids like. So with that in my mind, I'm talking to the mom and the little girl, and I said, you know, I'm really, and the person's here, so forgive me, but I'm really stuck on stupid when it comes to buying things for kids. And the little girl gasped. And I went, what did I do wrong? And the mom tells me, you know, I taught her, you know, that we don't use that word stupid, you know, because there's no reason to use it, you know, because a lot of people do that. So Holy Spirit just convicted my heart. Now, this is what's neat. You never know when God teaches you something and you give it to somebody else who you're going to affect. I took that to the men's prayer meeting, and I took it to the men's group, and I told them about that. And the guys responded, went, oh, yeah, we don't need to use that word. I use that word a lot. We don't need to use that word. One of the guys even started calling it the S word. So I thought, you know, the Lord is just, what a blessing he is. And then he showed me later on, it wasn't just the word. But who am I to that little girl am I a light? Or am I this person that just uses the wrong terminology? And so that's important. There was a lesson in there that said, you know, it's important that I need to be a light to the world. I need to watch my actions, watch my talk, watch my thoughts, and watch everything else. So, in Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And now let us turn to Romans 13:14. What gets in the way of us doing this, of fearing God and obeying his commandments, and we know that this is what we're, this is our duty. In Romans 13:14, it says, this is how we fear God and we keep his commandments. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So what we need to do to fear God and what we need to do to keep his commandments is we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be obedient to him. And then once we get to this place, folks, where we fear God's commandments, or we fear God and we obey his commandments and we put on the Lord Jesus Christ and we're not doing any of those things, there's a possibility, and I've seen people in the church do this, there's a possibility that we might get a little pride going on there. So, and we might say, ah, look at me. That person does this and this and this, and I don't do it. So I'm doing well. Yeah. Well, let's look at another scripture. Let's look at Luke 17:10. So, once we have done these things, once we have learned to fear God, we keep his commandments, we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're doing everything well, and we want to look out there, and we want to look at people, and we want to judge them, or we want to compare ourselves. And I've actually had this happen to me in a church one time. I wanted to open up a recovery house. It was a very wealthy church, and so they had a big meeting of all the wealthy guys, and we all got together. And I was talking about you know, being sober and all this stuff, and opening up a recovery house. And one of the guys said to me, "I don't have that problem." Here's what happened. Boy, God has his ways. I ended up living with these people for a while, and I was helping him clean out his garage, and I discovered his problem. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it wasn't a problem of drinking, but it was another problem he had. You know? So we never want to compare ourselves. We never want to judge anybody. And when we come to this place where we think we have it all together, Luke chapter 17, verse 10 says, "So likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded of you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." And there's that word again, duty. We've merely done our duty. We've merely barely kept even with what we're supposed to do. So that is the introduction here. Now let's look at the standards. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 15:22. I tell you, I have 10 points, and there's no way we're going to get through it. Praise God. So we'll get through what we can do. In 1 Samuel 15:22, it says, "And Samuel saw, and Samuel said, 'Has the word as great a delight in burnt, has the Lord as a great a light in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice.'" As here's the lesson is, here's the standard. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to love God wholeheartedly by responding in loving obedience to his word. Many people, they do a lot of things for the church. I know some people. Actually, I was one of these people. I used to be a Jehovah's Witness, where you take the watchtower, and you go and you stand places, you go to, you stand in front of Winchell Donuts, and you go walking down the street and you talk to somebody, and that's, they're earning their way into heaven. They actually told me that. And I think what stopped me from being a Jehovah's Witness was that when I went to Winchell Donuts and I stood there for 2 hours and we didn't get any free donuts, I said, well, and that's with this religion. I don't want to be part of this. But a lot of religions are like that. I had somebody come to the door. Were they Mormons? But somebody came to the door and says, this is what we're supposed to do. We're commanded to do this. And you can tell in their spirit, in their heart, that they were doing it as works. These standards, we are supposed to do them, but it's not as works, brothers and sisters. It's an obedience to the Lord. So, as a believer, we are to love God wholeheartedly by responding in loving obedience to His Word. And this is, folks, regardless of how we feel. There's a lot of people's spirituality. I know I've had this problem. Depends on how we feel and what we're going through. So I'm having a really bad day, so I don't think I'll go to church. I'm having a good day, so I think I'll go to church. I'm having a really good day, so I don't have to go to church. But we're supposed to be obedient to God. And what does God say? Forsake not the gathering of the saints. You know, forsake not the gathering of the saints. It doesn't matter how we feel. And I learned this in the self-confrontation class, that we don't depend upon our feelings. We depend upon the Word of God. So if we're really happy, you know, people, and they say this in recovery, in case you don't know, I'm in recovery. I have 22 years of sobriety off of the cocaine. And one of the things they say in recovery is they say, well, you know what? I'm really bummed out. They turned off my phone. And so I went and I got loaded. And then they say, you know, I'm really, really happy. They turned on my phone. So I went and got loaded. So it's not the feelings. It's the obedience to God. The next standard that we want to look at is study and memorize God's Word. Let's look at Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. And it said, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the ways of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. And in Psalms 119:11, the word says, the word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And to back that up, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 2 real quickly. Now, the word I've hid in my heart, how do we do that? Well, the scripture is very clear, and it says here, it says, So that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and thy lips up thy voice for understanding, if thou, and here's the key scripture, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasure. Folks, how do they get gold and how do they get silver and how do they get precious stones? They dig for it. They dig for it with the sweat of their brow. Now, I guarantee you this, especially anyone here that's younger, that's in their 20s or mid-20s. The world will give you a lot of stuff free. It will throw everything out there in front of you. All you have to do is watch television or look at a billboard, or it will give you sexual things, drinking, drugs, anything, the pride of life. That it says, here, you need to buy this car, you need to buy that car, and just throws it out there and says, here you go. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But the word God intended for us to dig for the word, to study the word, to show ourselves approved, to go after the word, to put work and sweat into the word of God. He wants us to be a part of our education of the word. And so that's why it says, if you seek for silver and search for as hid for treasure, thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous, and he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. You know what a buckler is? It's a shoulder shield. So when we have the sword of God, we're battling the enemy. We battle like this. You know, and the enemy comes at us. We have that, our shoulder is exposed, and he's a buckler for those exposed parts of us. Here's a tough one. Listen up. Charles Stanley says this. I always love this when he has a release. He says, okay, now listen up. Receive or accept and heed, which means to take seriously reproof and instruction. And that's the first scripture that I opened with. Hebrews 12, 5 through 6. And the scripture says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. And I'd like to park on this for a moment. God's instruction and God's rebuke and God's teachings, they can come in many different ways. Come from the pulpit when the pastor teaches. They come from the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're just in your room by yourself and the Holy Spirit begins to put something on your heart. It comes from the Word of God. But many, many times, folks, God will use other people. And sometimes, you know, he uses Christians, you know, like the young lady I was talking to you about. It was a very gentle, sweet correction. She didn't even know she was doing it, you know, but the Holy Spirit used her words to instruct me, to teach me, to change me. Sometimes God brings people into your life are the hammer and the chisels. They bring you a hard, hard lesson. And sometimes God uses these people. Maybe he's instructed you and he gives you this lesson and he sees how well you're doing in it. Well, I had a little experience like that. Now, I was at work and there I was at this wheelchair place and there was a couple of women that worked in the back and did all the paperwork. And I was one of the customer service people and we sold wheelchairs. And this one young woman, she was in her, I can call her young. She was probably in her late 40s, but I can call anyone young that's younger than 60. Yeah, because, so, but she was a Filipina, and she was born in the Philippines, but she'd been in Japan, and she'd been in many, many countries. And I could tell by her talk, because I'd experienced this earlier in my life, that she had been a hostess. And a hostess overseas, they work in bars, and that's what they do. And they are hostess to men, and a lot of the men come in there. And I know this from my own experience that they don't treat these women very nice. So she had a very hard, angry attitude towards men. And God used her in my life. One day, I don't know what I said, I don't know what I did, but she got in my face. And I mean, I'm not talking about just verbally. I mean, she was nose to nose with me. And she was only this big, even a little tiny thing like this. And she was, you know, eye to eye with me. I'm going like, what? You know? So my natural alpha male comes up inside me and I'm thinking, okay, how am I going to defend myself? I know how I'll defend myself. I'll just shake her for a while and change her whole attitude. Well, the Lord spoke to me. This was the test. The Lord spoke to me and said, I do not want you to say anything at all. Well, now all my adrenaline up and my ego is up and everything is up. And I'm going like, whoa. So I was obedient to the Lord. And then it got worse. He said, I want you to go apologize to her. I hadn't done anything at all. But the Lord was training me and the Lord was teaching me. So I went up and I said, you know, Susan, I really apologize to you, whatever I did. And of course, what do you think? She said, oh, John, I'm so grateful for your apology. No, she just didn't speak to me. She didn't speak to me for 3 weeks. And here's the hard thing. The next day I got up and go to work, and I know I was going to have to face her. And then it got worse. The Lord said, I want you to treat her as if that never happened. Love your enemy. Be kind, be kind and show her the ways of the Lord. They knew I was a Christian. Be gentle with her. And I am going like anything but that. I had these feelings. Remember, I talked about feelings. But we'll be obedient to the Lord and to the word of God. Well, let me tell you the reward. She didn't say anything for 3 weeks to me, and every day I came in and said, good morning, how are you? Good morning. One day, she comes to work, and she was a great cook. And she had this little thing, and she made spaghetti meatballs the night before. And she says, John, how would you like some of this for lunch? And I said, thank you. Every day after that, as long as we worked there, she brought me lunch. It was great, you know? And the thing is, one day she actually said this to me. She says, you know, John, she says, were you married? And I said, yeah, I was married, but we got a divorce. And I said, well, you ever kept, she said, you ever kept track of your wife? And I said, no. And she says, you know what? You ought to get a hold of her and just, so she can see what a nice guy you are, you know? And I went, that was the Lord, you know, because I felt anything but being nice to her. I wanted to, I don't know, be mean to her, you know? But being obedient to the word of God. You know, I was a lie to her, and because she knew I followed after Jesus, and she'd never had a man treat her with kindness and gentleness and love and honor and respect, and it showed her that Jesus has a different way. So you never know what the Lord's going to do and who he's going to bring into your life to correct you. And some of these things that we have a hard time with, maybe he's putting you to the test. And I'll tell you this, guaranteed, in our schools, if you flunk first grade, you go on to second grade anyhow. In God's school, you just stay in first grade until you learn that lesson. So learn the lesson the first time, folks. Now, if the Lord speaks to you, if the Lord tells you something, if the Lord brings somebody into your life that's hard, you know, or brings somebody in your life that's soft and gentle, he wants to teach you a lesson, learn the lesson the first time around. I'll share this because you don't know who I'm talking about. But there was a fellow in the men's group, and he was struggling with something, and I warned him, and I warned him, and I warned him, and I warned him, and he struggled, and he struggled. I said, one of these days, you know, God's going to just drop a rock on your head. Well, sure enough, that day came. God dropped a rock on his head, and it was really neat because he became obedient, and it took a while. And he became obedient to the word of the Lord. He stopped doing what he was not supposed to be doing. His life turned around. Everything turned around, and his life is much, much better. But it took him a while, and sometimes it takes us a while. But we want to be obedient to the Lord immediately. There's another person that no longer goes to our church, and he struggled with things. And he used to say this. And let me give you a caution here. He used to say, and a lot of times the men's group say this, that's hard. And I say, well, everything I'm telling you, I never use the word easy. It's simple because God gives us direction, and all we have to do is follow God's direction. But it is hard because we have our flesh, and we have to come against our flesh. And this guy used to say, if only there was a God pill. And folks, there's no God pill. There's Jesus Christ. There's the Holy Spirit. He empowers us. He's, you know, he makes it so sin is powerless in our life, but there's something we have to walk in. There's something that we have to do. We have to walk in obedience to him. And by the way, that's called sanctification. God does the sanctification, that we have to walk into the sanctification. There is something we have to do. Remember, it's about obedience to him. It's not about works. It's not about standing in front of a donut shop with a magazine in our hand. So let's turn to Proverbs 1:1-5. Proverbs 1:1-5 says, it's a proverb of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Remember what our standard is, that we receive and accept or heed, take seriously the reproof and instruction of the Lord. To receive instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall obtain unto wise counsel. And subtlety means wise behavior. If we have wisdom, what we do is we take God's word to us. Now, remember what the scripture said in Ecclesiastes? It says we keep his commandments. They're not just commandments out there that we look at and we talk about and say, this is wonderful, thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that. But we take them to our heart. We keep them to our heart. We keep them to our breast. We keep them in our mind. Now, day and night, we ponder them and we look at them and we're obedient to them. So a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Now, let me give you, before I go any further in these standards, let me give you a reason for this and why we do this. Folks, I know everybody in this room, including myself, and even pastors say this. I don't know if you've ever been to a pastor's conference. I got to go to a senior pastor's conference one time. Calvary Chapel, whoa, do those pastors get hammered? The pastors get up there and they tell them, they talk to them, and they call them on this stuff, and if you're doing this and you're doing that, and this is what the word of God's saying, I'm like, holy cow, these are senior pastors. You know, I thought, where do I stand? You know, it was amazing. Well, this is what the word of God instructs us and teaches us. And let me tell you this, if you have a problem in your life, and once again, I told you that I was sober for 22 years. When I first got sober, I couldn't get sober. I could not get sober because I always did it wrong. And what I did is I'd go out and get huge amounts of cocaine, and I would do the cocaine, and then I'd blow all my money, and I'd say, Lord, 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 help me not use again. Help me, help me, help me. Why? Because I was in remorse. Not remorse to the Lord, but remorse because I blew all my money and now I couldn't buy food or anything. You know, and I just was, you know, my life was wasted away. I lost a wife, lost a house, lost everything but my cat. And so I would say, so next payday, I'd do the same thing, and it was on and on and on and on. It was so bad, folks, that I don't know if you understand, anybody's in recovery, a relapse prevention meeting is where you go so you don't relapse anymore. They kicked me out of the relapse prevention meeting. They say, John, you can't get it, just go away. So it was, I was really, really, really struggling. Finally, one time I came to the end. It was really neat what the Lord did for me, because I'd been in two hospital programs before that. You know, and I always came out. I did well in hospital programs, and I always came out. I talked the talk. I did all this stuff. I couldn't walk the walk. I would come out, and I'd celebrate by doing my 30 days in the hospital by getting loaded. You know, I went and bought cocaine, and I celebrated. Yeah, all right, I did that 30 days. Okay. Well, the last time I was in, this is what I did. It was a change. I said, Lord, Lord, forgive me for coming against you. Forgive me. I've been a Christian on. I've been in a church, and I just walked away, and I even had told the Lord this. I said, Lord, you know, I think I want to do this worldly thing for a while. And what I didn't know is the Lord very quietly said, okay, but you get the results of all your actions. And so I went out, and away I went, and I got the results of all my actions. When I came back, I said, Lord, Lord, forgive me. You know, I went into a hospital program, and you know, I was in that hospital program, and this was really, you couldn't do this. There were two Christian counselors. And so when they found out I was a Christian, they would take me aside separately from all the council meetings and all those type things, and we would pray and we would read the Bible. And because I didn't ask the Lord to help me stop using, I asked the Lord to forgive me. You know, now I have 22 years. You know, the Lord honored that. He honored that thing. So what this is about, what these standards are about, if you have something in your life that's a hard time that you struggle with, and you say, help me do this, help me do that, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, and you keep struggling with it, change the way you do things. When I got sober, a lot of people talk about, well, I haven't used for 3 weeks, or I haven't used for this, or I haven't done that, or I haven't drank, I haven't done this, things, that, things. What I did is I stopped looking at not using and not drinking, and I started looking at the solution was how to stay sober. Now, I had a big advantage because my higher power was Jesus Christ. You know, I didn't have a higher power that I understood. I had a higher power that understood me, and he had a name, and he was a person. He was a personable, and he guided me with his eye, and he kept me in the palm of his hand. He never left me nor forsake me. You know, so I didn't have a higher power that I figured out. I had a higher power that figured out me. And so what we want to do if we have problems is we want to take these standards, and I'll go through a couple more, I have time. We want to take these standards and start using them and doing God, what God wants us to do, as we, sisters and brothers, if we start doing the things that God wants us to do, the things of the world will begin to fade away. One of the guys asked me, he says, well, you know, how do I become compassionate? You know, how do I get that thing inside me so I'm compassionate for other people? And so I told him, I said, well, why don't you start being compassionate? Just because you don't feel compassionate, why don't you start doing compassionate things to other people, being kind to them, being gentle? And as we begin to do those things, it's amazing how God can open up the door so we actually get compassionate hearts for people. I'll tell you this, because the guys tell me this all the time. Some of the things I used to do when I was out there, people were afraid of me. I never cussed anybody out. I never threatened anybody. I never carried a gun. I never did any of those things. But some of these big, bad, mean guys were afraid of me. I had some sort of a demeanor. I don't know what it was that I picked up to protect myself. And thank goodness, God makes you a new creature, and He renews your mind. And the guy, when I tell this stuff, few little stories, which I won't tell here, some of the things I did, that they say, we would never even believe that about you, John, that you were ever that way. You know, and I thought, thank you, Lord, the grace of God. And the reason being for that is, rather than battle the problem, I said, Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, Lord, let me become to your word. And one of the things was, like that young lady I told you about that I worked with that got in my face, I said, okay, let me be obedient to the word of God. You know, things like that don't even bother me anymore. It's amazing how God takes those things away. Guys, let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. You ever drive down the freeway and somebody cuts you off or something like that, and you get really upset? Yes, and maybe some things come out of your mouth that are not biblical. Well, let me tell you, folks, that doesn't just happen to guys. It also happens to women. I lived in this recovery house many, many years ago when I was 20. I lived in this recovery house, and it wasn't a recovery house, it was a Christian house, I'm sorry. And it had been opened up by this pastor that came down from Washington. God said, work with street people, and he'd never even seen a street person. You know, he came out of a four-square church, and a little suit on and all this stuff. And so when I moved into the house, there was about 24 guys, and eventually two girls came along and slept in our garage, so he says, okay, we need to open up a girls' house. So we kept expanding, and pretty soon it wasn't just street people, but it was, you know, people from the neighborhood, people from families. Young kids wanted to come in and move, and they wanted to get the Word of God. And we had this one sweet, young, little, blonde girl. She had the sweetest personality. She had the sweetest little voice. And all of us guys from the street, we said, yeah, I either want to marry her or I want to marry somebody just like her. She's the sweetest girl I ever saw in my life. Well, one day we got together, both the houses got together, and we were just sharing about what the problems we had, like we do in the men's group. We're sharing about what the problems we have and what things bother us and the things that are ungodly. This sweet little girl that we all wanted to marry or marry someone just like her, because we knew that when she went to sleep at night, she was so holy she glowed in the dark. She was just this little sweat. She says, well, I have a problem. Her face changed, her demeanor changed, her voice changed, and she said, yeah, when I'm driving down the freeway and somebody cuts me off, I just pull up alongside them and I cuss them out and I throw gestures at them. And we all go and we all look and we think, holy cow, this little girl that we all loved, she's like that? Here's a really great lesson in judging. We judged her as being totally pure, wonderful, and godly, and floating 3 inches off the ground and God, and just this little girl. And here she was. Sin is common to all men. Along those lines of judging, I used to go to this Cocaine Anonymous meeting, and it was a stag meeting, all men. And I used to, whenever I talk, I always bring up my higher power, who's Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. You know, and I used to get, you know, just, you know, laughed at and make fun of. Well, there was this big 300-pound biker. Once again, we want to learn not to judge. There's this 300-pound biker that wore leather tattoos. And I knew when I said, you know, we'd go around the room and introduce ourselves, and I knew when I said that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, I knew he was going to be the one that just gave me the most steam. Well, it went the other way. And he talked first, and he said, my name's so-and-so, and I'm a cocaine addict, and I'm really am thankful for my higher power, who is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, born again. So he was born again. So we never want to, I learned not to look at the cover of a book and read it, you know, never judge someone, but let me just accept those people that God puts in my life. you know, and just see who they are and what they are and see what they need, and maybe I can meet their needs. So another standard, this is very important. Let's turn to Psalms 29:2. Again, let me reiterate, we take the standards that God has for us and we apply them to our lives, and the things of the world will start to fade away. If we have attitude problems, if we hate people, if we have anything else, drinking, drugs, anything else in our lives, and we begin to be obedient to God, it's amazing how those things, we don't have time for them anymore. So, here's another standard God has. Worship the Lord, both individually and with others. Psalms 29:2 says, give unto the Lord the glory, do unto his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And let me just encourage you all that to worship God is not the time that we go to him and ask him for things, Lord, Lord. You know, it's where we go and we give to him. We honor him for who he is, the Ancient of Days, the person that saved us. And we can just get on our knees or prostrate ourselves before him or raise our hands to him and say, Lord, 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 I glorify you because of what you've done, for the benefits that you give me, for the mercy that you give me. We take time to have that individual worship time between us and the Lord, where we thank him for all the things we've done. These are one of the standards. God wants us to do this. If we can do these things, and we just really give our time over to the Lord, the things of the world will begin to fade away. Be an example to others, Matthew 5:16. Again, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets, but I have come to destroy, but to fulfill. When it says let your light shine, these are the practical things of God's word. When someone gets in our face, do we let God's light shine? Do we have the ability to be obedient and be that person? We have a guy that comes to the Thursday night prayer meeting. He's in construction and fairly new Christian, but he's a light to the men he works around. And you know, I don't know if you guys have ever been around construction men, but it's Marlboros, Coors, and whatever comes out of their mouth, you know. And this guy is just, he just stands for the things of the Lord. And he talks about him, and he does things that are honest, and he does things, you know, that that the Lord has taught him to do. And he's become a light. And so some of these men, now they're starting to see things and look at things different. And his clients, his customers see and look at him different. And that's because what he's doing is he's bringing what Jesus has done in his life to them. And that's what we have to be, a light to the world, you know. There's a young woman that... she was working at this company, and new Christian, and her company was being downsized, so some people were being laid off. That's pretty scary now in today's economy. And she makes this statement, something to the effect that, I don't work for man, but I work for the Lord. That's pretty bold when your company's downsizing and people are getting laid off. And you know what happened to her? She got promoted. You know, God honored her. I'll lift God up, and he will lift us up. You know, God lifted her up because she lifted God up, and she made, you know, she made that statement to glorify him. 1 Timothy 4:12. And let's see. Yeah, there are some young people in here. This is for you. 1 Timothy 4:12. The youth were going to be in here tonight, but then Steve decided he wanted me to come and share with him another night. Be an example to others. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity or love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And I looked at this, there was a commentary I read, and it said, it was an exhortation on this. It said, youth, and you know, standing up here, youth is anyone that's younger than I am. Praise God. So that encompasses a lot. Youth should not be spent on sowing wild oats. Now, that's an old term. Some of you older folks will know what that means. The younger folks might. What sowing wild oats is, my dad, who when I was growing up was not a godly man, and he was, he was an alcoholic, and he was mean, and he was macho, and he says, John, before you get married, go out and sow some wild oats. Just don't get any of them pregnant. And that was the kind of lessons back in those days. Men, go out and sow your wild oats. Sowing wild oats is sex, drugs, and rock and roll, to put it very verbally. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. So it says, don't waste your time on sowing wild oats, but your strength should be used in living and witnessing for Christ in thought, word, and deed. And here's something that maybe you younger people don't realize is, even encouraging older believers who have grown lethargic. And you know, it's very easy. I've met a lot of older believers. They're settled in their ways, and they don't kind of do anything at all. They're just there, and they do come to church, but they've gotten lethargic in the ways of God. And I look at myself just because I live my life, you know, so pathetically horrible that I'm just getting started. You know, and the Lord has just put in my heart that I want to go to other countries. I want to do missionary work. I want to do all these things. And the Lord has given that to me and given me that strength. And I really praise God for that, because my life is much more interesting than it ever was when I was out there doing the world. Well, and I tell you something, if your life, you know, your life gets boring, try doing something for God and see how unboring it gets really quick. So we don't want to waste our strength on sowing wild oats, but we want to live and witness for Christ. Here's another one, and this happens a lot in the church. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:10. And this will be my last point, because we ran out of time. This is tough in a church. And I'll tell you, some of my experiences in a church, I have seen divisions in church that are unbelievable over the littlest, tiniest thing. You know, I mean, I've heard people say, you know, I don't believe what the pastor's teaching, so I'm going to go to another church. Or I don't like how the pastor treated me, or I don't like how this person treated me, so I'm going to go to another church. You know, whenever someone treats me the way I don't think they should treat me, or they actually treat me bad or poor or whatever, and I get really upset and angry, you know what I do? The first thing I do is I look at my own heart. Because the Bible does not tell us to love someone else because they treat us nice. The Bible just tells us to love somebody else. That's what it does. It says, love others, love your enemies. Love, love, love. Be kind, be gentle. It's not my business how someone treats me. It's only my business how I treat them. You know, scripturally, God says that we love, and we want to exhort, and we want to lift people up, and we want to encourage them. One of the things I learned many years ago, and I prayed the Lord about this, is that, you know, a lot of people, they get wounded, and they get hurt, and they get painful, and from that they have anger and hatred and dissensions and all these things. So I said, Lord, don't show me the results of their wounds. Show me their wounds, because that's where God ministers. He ministers to people's wounds. He ministers to that heart, those places where they're hurt, you know, heals the brokenhearted. So I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you will speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Folks, when somebody comes at you in a church, it takes work, and it takes taking every thought captive. Am I going to respond in my feelings? Am I going to respond to what somebody did to me? Or am I going to take every thought captive and do what the Lord would have me to do? preserve the unity of the body. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Here's a tough one, folks, because of the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of vocation wherewith ye are called, that we walk worthy of what the Lord has called us to do, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And verse 4 says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called into one hope of your calling. In Philippians 2, 1 through 4. It says this. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. You know, if you have a hard time with somebody and you esteem that person better than yourself, you stop having a hard time with them, you know, because you look at them differently. But if I have a hard time with somebody, and if I have a hard time with somebody, I can very easily judge them. I can very easily say there's something wrong with them. I don't have that lowliness of mind. I don't want to encourage them. You know, then I get very, very bitter. And let me just say a quick word on bitterness. I kind of saw the little thing the Lord showed me. We get angry at somebody. So anger is like a balloon full of wind, full of hot gases. And so we get angry, and so we get angry at somebody, and then we get a little seed of bitterness against them, and then we start carrying it, and our mind goes off, and we start seeing all types of things. I used to be that I would get a little angry at somebody, and by the time I was done thinking about them, I buried them in the desert someplace. And it was amazing how far my mind would go. And so now you have this seed of bitterness, and you've decided to carry it and to keep it. The only problem being is when the anger goes away, you don't have that big puff of emotion that started that. And so you still have that bitterness and that anger, and now you have to carry the weight of it yourself because you no longer have the emotion that brought it. And eventually what happens with that seed of bitterness, if you think that you can love this person and this person and this person and this person and hate this person and love this person and this person and this person, guess which person is going to affect you? The person that you hate. It's like a little leaven leavens a whole loaf. Yeah, you take that little seed of bitterness and eventually it starts spreading and spreading and spreading. And eventually it starts going out over all kinds of people. And rather than love people and see them, you start to judge them. And I'll tell you something. Let me sit about 10 minutes with every person in this room and I can find something wrong with you. Or I can cover you with the love of the Lord and see nothing wrong with you at all. And that's the way we want to be, folks. That's the way we want to be. So let me come to a conclusion because we just ran out of time. Let me bring the other points to you really quick. Preserve the unity of the body. One of the other standards is be gentle in correcting others. Deny yourself and consider others as more important than yourself. How hard is that? Forgive from the heart anyone who has sinned against you. Be ready to grant forgiveness to any who asks. Be a peacemaker and live in peace with others. And I found this one little thing that I made a note about. And where did it go? I lost it. Here it is. First Corinthians 3:3 says, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envies and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk according to man? If the Spirit of God detects anything wrong, and this is from My Utmost for His Highest, if the Spirit of man, God, if the Spirit of God detects anything wrong in you, He does not ask you to put it right. And then once again, we're not doing works. He doesn't ask you to put it right. He asks us to walk in the standards of God, which is in obedience to Him, like the scripture in Ecclesiastes. Fear God and obey His, keep His commandments. But He asks you to accept the light, and He will put it right. And who's the light? Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the Logos, or the Word of God. And He asks us to accept the light. Allow the light to come into our lives by the Word, by prayer, by fellowship, and allow Him to change us. Stop trying to fix that thing that you cannot fix. Get close to the Lord and let Him fix it. And getting close to the Lord takes work, because you have to study His Word. We have to, and remember, the Word changes us. It's the living Word of God. It's not like, oh, there's no one here. It's not like the Quran. It's not like anything else. It's the living Word of God. When we read the Word of God, something spiritual actually happens to us. So let me bring this to a conclusion. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Fear God. Keep His commandments. And when you've done all those things, count yourself as an unprofitable servant. Be broken, humble, and contrite. Count yourself as an unprofitable servant, because all we've done is our duty. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You teach us and that You show us and that You want us, Lord, to apply those things. You don't want us to just be hearers of the Word only, but You want us to be doers of the Word, Lord. You want us to take those things that You teach us and those mercies and actually use those things in our life, that we want to battle against the flesh and draw the things of the Spirit to us, so we can become the light to the world, the salt of the earth. And we can show other people through our life, through what You've done in us, that what a gracious, wonderful, kind, gentle, loving God, that You have such a better life for all of us. So Lord, I pray tonight as we leave, Lord, that we just really learn to apply Your Word and Your standards to our lives, that those things of the world, those, whether they be big things like drinking, alcohol, promiscuity, or they be the things like attitudes and like dissensions and jealousies and angers, that those things begin to fade away, and that we become a people, O Lord, that follow after You with all of our hearts and all of our minds and all of our strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to bring one more thing to you before we leave. This is from another little girl, 11-year-old girl. And she gave me this little, sweet little Easter card. But it was what was in the card. Now, this little girl, she's a writer. She's just a really neat kid. And also, the other little 9-year-old girl I was talking about, she gave me a Get Well card. And I thought, these two girls should go work for Hallmark, because this stuff was just from the heart. Here's what she said. Jesus is risen. But this is what she said. The tomb was empty. Angels were there. Jesus saves. And sometimes I ask Him what to wear. That comes from a little girl. Shouldn't we pray like that? Lord, Lord, what should I wear to church? We should ask God those little tiny things. That's, but I'm a man, so I'm going to ask God the hard stuff. And I'm going to take, you know, and I'll take care of the stuff that I know I can take care of. Be like children. Go to the Lord with everything. Amen. And John Luke will not be in the prayer meeting, because I'm in the prayer room, because I'm up here now. Okay, praise God. God bless you all. Good evening. You're dismissed.